Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. My name's Laura Jackson.
And I'm Amanda Quinn.
And we are here to talk to you guys today about something that I love talking about, and that is food.
Delicious. I love talking about food too, so I'm pumped.
Well, this is actually, it's a question that came in from one of our listeners who was saying she is really trying to eat healthier and her biggest obstacle is time. So what can she do? And you know, as a nutritionist, as someone who obviously loves healthy eating, loves all things food-wise, I can totally relate to this because the one thing that you cannot get away with when it comes to eating better is not meal prepping.
Agreed, 100%. Because if you are trying to eat real whole foods, you don't have those things. Like, unless you meal prep and you have stuff that's already prepared in advance, you don't have the luxury of having food in 5 minutes. It's like everything takes, like every single one of my meals, if I don't meal prep, I've got a plan to start making it like 40, 45 minutes out, or else like before I realize I'm going to be hungry. Cause if I'm hungry and then I'm making it, I'm in trouble.
Exactly. That's when it comes like snack attack monster, when you're like,
yeah, you're eating, you know, half of your ingredients while you're cooking. And then you're like full by the time your meal is ready.
I know. And this is something that even before we get into today's podcast, so we are going to go through our top 5 steps of how to meal prep like a master. But before we get into that, I just want people to get into the mindset right away when listening to this is that, you know, there are no shortcuts. You know what I mean? Like everything that we're going to talk about, it is going to take effort, but get into the mindset of this is going to be an awesome process of getting involved in your food, as opposed to it being like an annoying thing you have to do, or another thing you have to do of being like, oh, I got a meal prep. Because that's what I hear a lot. So I kind of want to say that right out front. It's like, let's not put this into a negative tone. Meal prepping is super fun, but you just need to know how to do it right. And that's what we're going to show you guys how to do.
See, I mean, just to add to that, Laura, like the way I see it is, meal prepping to me is like, it's a necessity now. It's like, yes, sometimes I know that you're saying it's going to be fun. Sometimes I don't find it super fun, to be honest. I find it kind of like, oh, but you know what I do is I plan my meals in advance. Like I plan my menu for the week. And when I, especially days when I'm just not that into it, like on a Sunday and I'm just like, oh, I just would rather be doing X, Y, or Z. What I do is I plan my menu, and I know we're going to talk about this and I'm sorry if I'm jumping ahead, but I like to plan my menu and figure out foods that kind of are similar or use similar ingredients so that I'm able to make it so that it's faster, more efficient. And then in the end, I'm so happy that I did it. And I end up cutting my meal prep time down to like maybe an hour and a half. And then I've got meals for days. And then every time I'm about to eat it, that's when I'm reminded. I'm like, yes, it was worth it. You know? So
completely. And that's one of the things that I think that for a lot of us, it's like, you know, it's the time investment up front, but once you reap the benefits throughout the week, like once you come home from work and you're exhausted and you have a delicious, nutritious meal that's fully done and you just have to reheat it, you're like, holy crap, meal prepping is the best. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
So even though you have to do the investment up front, the benefits are so much better from it, not only from, you know, having delicious food, but also for eating less packaging, less processing, less chemicals. And also if you're looking to lose weight, you need to be meal prepping because you have to be eating real whole foods to be getting all those nutrients for your body. Or if you're looking to build muscle too. And getting away, the thing I find so, that's not even as much, it's not talked about as much because still in the fitness and nutrition industry, we talk either a lot about, you know, still foods for weight loss or muscle building, or we talk about foods for healing, if you're talking from more of a holistic perspective. But we don't really talk about what is in a lot of these foods, the prepackaged foods and all of the, you know, even if you're looking at stuff that's, let's say, is trans fat free or, you know, maybe it's gluten free and we're thinking that we're making healthier choices, there's still so many different dyes, food colorings, you know, oils that even though they're not trans fats or there's small amounts of trans fats that they're not accounting for, fake fibers, all things that are causing our bodies a lot of distress. And the scary thing is we don't know how these chemicals actually interact with each other, because a lot of the food studies are done on specific chemicals by themselves. And they say, okay, you know, this in a small amount is okay for you, but they don't know what happens when you move, when you mix, you know, maybe red food dye with a certain oil or a certain preservative. Next thing you know, that could be wreaking major havoc on your body. So by meal prepping, we avoid all that mess because we're eating real whole food. So that was my big long-winded thing. So just becoming more aware of, you know, when you're eating real whole food, you don't have to worry about reading labels because there's no labels on them. Yeah. There's no ingredients on them because broccoli is broccoli. And that means it's the good stuff. Okay. So let's get into this then.
Yes.
So how do you meal prep like a master? So we're going to talk to you guys about it in 5 steps. And this is stuff that actually Amanda and I both do. So number one is that before you start anything, you need to make sure you have the right equipment. And I see this a lot. And I always kind of, you know, think about it in the way of like, you know, for example, if you were going to go into, let's say, a battle with a dragon, you're not going to go defend yourself with a pencil. Like, you need your big guns. You need to have like a big sword or something to get away. It's the same thing when you're warding off your hunger, or, you know what I mean? Like, you're trying to get into a pattern of healthy eating. You need to bring out the big guns. You need to make sure that you're set up for success. So the things that I personally like to have in my kitchen, I'm going to get to a second, but Amanda, what are your must-haves for meal prepping?
Well, my number one like go-to is my slow cooker by far, because it allows for me to have like almost zero prepping. Cause like I just make simple things in it. I throw it all in there, turn it on, and it's like ready to rock. And I use that usually for like, if I'm making like say a soup for the week, or if I'm making like a spaghetti sauce type of thing, like something along those lines. But lately it's been all about like whole chickens. I just like, I prepare one in the slow cooker. It takes me like literally 1 minute to prep in advance, cause I just put some seasoning on it, throw it in. And then I use that chicken for like toppings on salads for the entire week, or for like wraps. So it's something that's super easy to do. So my slow cooker is like definitely like the superstar in my kitchen.
How long do you cook that for? Let's just give a little recipe while we're talking about this. How long do you cook your chicken for?
For the whole chicken. So I basically leave it in on low for 6 hours. And in order to make it, so this is my other little tip, in order to make it so that the it doesn't get like kind of soggy on the bottom from sitting in its own juices, because I literally don't put any water or anything. You just put the chicken. And what I do is I put it on top of 4 aluminum foil balls. So I put 4 balls underneath it, and then I just place the chicken on top of it. So it's elevated from the base of the slow cooker, and then it keeps all of it so that it gets nice and crispy and it doesn't get all like soggy and mushy on the bottom.
Great tip and delicious.
Yeah, but it's 6 hours. So I literally just put it on and then I leave it and I forget about it, and I have the timer set and it turns off on its own, and it's fantastic. And it's like the easiest thing. I usually like, I make like 1 to 2 of those a week.
Well, yeah. And if you think about it, even if you live on your own, or if you have a family, doing a whole chicken is going to be able to feed you for multiple meals. And then it can become your base protein for, you know, like you said, you like to use it on salad, or become your base protein for, you know, adding to fajitas or wraps or sandwiches or soups or whatever it is. So like doing even 2, like maybe if you're on your own, you do 1 chicken in advance. And then if you have a family, maybe do 2 for the week, and then you have a ton of protein that's pre-done and you can go from there.
Exactly. Yeah. I usually do 1 on Sunday and then I do another 1 midweek because it's just so easy. It's like, it's literally my number one go-to right now. But that's for sure. I would also say a blender. Right now I'm actually just shopping for a new one. And, but a blender is really important, not only for me, but also because, as you know, my daughter, she's just starting to learn to eat solids. So we're teaching her to eat. And so in order to, you know, to get her on the right track and eating foods, we're trying to 100% provide her with all homemade real food. So meaning I make her sweet potato, so it's just sweet potato and that's all she's eating, et cetera. And so I need to have a good blender on hand in order to be able to blend it all up and make it so that it's edible for her as well. And then also, of course, for our green smoothies every morning, we've gotten back on that train. So that's a huge thing. And it's really important to just have a good one so that you're not like, you know, picking out kale from your teeth kind of thing.
Well, that's one thing I always say. And, you know, we recently had a retreat and it was awesome to have, you know, all these ladies there. And I was asking who, you know, who does green smoothies already at home and who doesn't and what type of blenders they have. And I have, you know, a high-end blender. I have a Vitamix, which I invested in, but it's like a $600 blender. And for a lot of people, when you're first starting out, A, you might not have the funds to invest in a $600 blender, or B, you might be like, I'm not spending $600 on a friggin' blender. You know what I mean? Like, but once you do, it's probably my favorite piece of kitchen equipment. That's my number one, is my blender. And I've had mine for 7 years and it is still amazing. So, you know, once you do get into the smoothies or you do get into making a lot of homemade soups and things like that, it's such a difference when you have a higher end blender because the consistency changes. And like you said, you know, with the kale, if you give somebody their very first smoothie and it's kale and you make it in like a Black & Decker blender, it's probably going to be funky and chunky and literally they will never drink a green smoothie again.
That's exactly what happened in my house with my husband. It was like, I gave him a smoothie that should have tasted delicious, but it was so chunky that he was like, I can't even down this. And I can down anything. Like, I'm just like, oh, whatever. I don't care. I'll just drink it because I know it's good for me and I know it's going to fill me up and whatever, but he's like, I can't. So that's why we were actually in the process of buying a new one because we were just, we're like, okay, we need to get one that's good so that he will enjoy them as much as, you know, he should.
Go for the Ninja. It's a more cost-effective.
That's actually what we're going to get.
Yeah, it's a more cost-effective version.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, so we talk, getting, make sure you got the right equipment. Slow cookers, blenders. Other things that I really recommend is making sure you have a good set of knives. And even if you have an older set of knives, you can get a knife sharpener at like your local, you know, Home Depot, Canadian Tire, in the States, even Walmart. I just recently got one that was $13 on sale and it's amazing because you can just sharpen your knives every time because it's really frustrating if you're trying to meal prep and everything you're sawing through like a piece of celery. Also glass jars and storage containers, parchment paper, because we want to get away from the Tupperware and the plastic. Please, if you have storage containers that are plastic, especially if you are reheating them in the microwave, stop immediately. Get rid of them. Plastic is so not good for us.
One question for you, Laura, on that though, is because you notice that there's a lot of storage, like I have storage containers at home that are glass. The base is glass, but the top is plastic. Does that affect it at all? Like I don't reheat it with a lid on. If I'm going to put it in the microwave, I would never reheat it with the lid on anyways. It would always just be in the glass. But because it has a plastic lid, does that affect anything to do with the food composition?
I personally think it still could for sure take it off if you're going to, but also a lot of times if your food's not touching it, it will have less of an effect. They have a lot more containers now too that are stainless steel and things like that. But you know,
I was just curious.
We just want to limit the amount of plastic that we have as much as possible. And the thing is too, is once you get a good set of glass storage, like you don't need to reinvest in them and they're not that expensive.
No. And I just bought, like I said, we just bought new ones and they do have it's like the snap and lock tops, but the tops are plastic, but the whole base is pure glass. And so I figured the same thing, as long as it's not touching the plastic, it should be fine. But I wanted to ask you that question.
So. Yeah. And I also think, I mean, and we were talking a lot about this too at the retreat. I think a lot of it too is just, you know, we don't have to be perfect. In an ideal world, we would be, but trying to reduce as much as possible. So, you know, if your food is constantly sitting in plastic containers and being heated in a microwave in a plastic container, and then you're drinking out of plastic bottles, and then we're touching receipts all day long, and then we're, you know, putting chemicals on our skin, it just becomes so much toxic overload that any place that we can cut it out, especially in our food, because that goes into our digestive tract, you know, take that out as much as possible. So, from the just getting into the glass containers and getting the getting like a stainless steel water bottle, that alone is a huge step in the right direction.
Right.
And then I also recommend a kitchen scale. So like, we're still on point number one, making sure you have the right equipment. Kitchen scale, though, is incredible, especially for meal prep. We're going to talk about how to use it as we get to how we meal prep. But really important, because we're very portion distortion society. Like, we have no idea what normal portion sizes look like, and we're eating things that are way too big. And if you're going to portion out your meals for the week, we want to know how much they are. And even if, I always recommend for people, even if they use the kitchen scale at the beginning, you know, when they first start meal prepping, so they start to learn what amounts to look like. Because a lot of times we'll say, oh, I'm having a chicken breast, and you weigh that chicken breast and it's equivalent to like three chicken breasts because the chicken breasts are so huge now. Or we're having an apple and the apple is like six times the size of a normal apple. So it's just kind of reteaching ourselves as to how much an amount is. And then you have those tools to be able to eyeball it. Mm-hmm. And then of course there's other things that I love. I have an air fryer, which I absolutely love right now because it's a really great way to cook, especially for like one or two people, and to heat stuff up. And it's really, it makes things really moist without having to turn on the oven and all that stuff and add a lot of fat to it. And then I have a spiralizer to make veggie noodles. Instapot is great. It's really popular right now. It's like a pressure cooker slash slow cooker together. Like, it's like eight things in one. It's Canadian made too, but it's really great for making bone broth. A food vacuum is great too, to pre-make stuff and then you can freeze it so it doesn't get freezer burn. But those are just optional. But the main ones I would say is blender, slow cooker, good storage, like glass storage, knives, and a kitchen scale.
Definitely.
Okay. So how to meal prep like a master. Step number two is simple. You are going to pick your meal prep day of the week. So you've got your right equipment. Now you're going to pick the day of the week you're going to do your meal prep on and make it a ritual. So try to keep the same day every week just until you get into the habit, because again, humans are creatures of habit. We need structure. We need things in our schedule to be able to make them, you know, start to feel natural to us. So Amanda, what day do you meal prep usually?
I do it sometimes on Sunday or Monday. It's always Sunday or Monday. It's always like at the beginning. Sometimes Sundays just don't happen for me because I end up traveling or having family things to do. So if it doesn't happen on Sunday, Monday for sure. I make sure it happens Monday evening for the rest of the week. Because it's just, and then that means that Monday just makes my, it just makes it a little bit more challenging for what I'm going to have for lunch and dinner. Because like I was saying earlier, it's like, I do this because what it does is, especially being busy, you know, running, like running a business and having a newborn and all of these things, I still want to be able to eat healthy. And so I need to be able to do meal prepping in order to do that, or else I end up just scrambling and eating like really random stuff all the time. But so no. as long as I get it done by Monday night, I'm usually good to go. So I did it this week. I was traveling, so I didn't get a chance to do it Monday. So I did it yesterday. So it does jump around a little bit for me, but I try to stick to Sunday and Monday.
Yeah. And I'm similar. I mean, I typically try to do a Sunday cause I find that's when I do my groceries and go through the whole process. But, you know, if it is something like you were saying, when your schedule is like up in the air or things are changing, that if just say Sundays are your regular day for meal prep, think about your work week ahead and what's happening at home and at work. And maybe Sunday is not the day you're doing it, but then you have to schedule another day. So don't just leave it as like, can't meal prep on Sunday. Be like, okay, I'm going to meal prep on Monday, like you were saying, or on Tuesday or whatever it is.
Yeah. I make it a priority for like the very beginning of the week, or like right before the week is about to begin, or the very beginning of the week, so that for the rest of the week, it creates so much more ease in my day, right? Like, and that's the whole point of meal prepping, I think, is for me, it's all about creating ease and ensuring that I'm still able to eat the way that I want to eat, as opposed to, you know, having random, like, oh, I'm just going to have a protein bar and a banana because I didn't meal prep.
No, exactly. And then that's when you get really, I get really frustrated and I get really pissed off because A, I'm hungry and angry at the same time. And B, I end up making bad choices because I don't have time. So I'm eating like exactly like bags of nuts, which yes, nuts are a healthy snack, but they're not a meal. You know what I mean? Like
totally.
And
I find when I start doing that, when I start just snacking instead of like eating a proper meal, I never feel satisfied. I'm someone who needs to actually have a meal. Like, you know how sometimes people can just have like little bits and bites here and there, or they can have just like apps when they go out or something. I'm totally not that person. I'm the person that I need to have like a proper meal. And if I don't have a proper meal, I never feel satisfied. I don't know if it's like a mental thing, an emotional thing, or what it is, but I
need it's a physical thing. It's actually, and I'm doing a webinar soon, so I'm not going to talk about that now, but it's actually the way that our receptors signal from our stomach to our brain. It's actually scientific response. Yeah.
Oh, well then that makes me feel a lot better, but yeah. So I need to have a proper meal. So in order to do that, meal prepping has to happen. So my recommendation is beginning of the week, or very like right before your week starts, or the very next day, the very first opening you have where you know you're going to have a window of opportunity, get it done.
Well, and as you pick your day too, and you're going to do your grocery shopping, you don't just pick the day. You also, this is where like right before you grocery shop, you've got to start to figure out what the meals are that you're going to make. So, you know, you don't worry about being like, oh, I'm doing chicken cacciatore and, you know, steak tartare and all this crazy stuff. Just try to keep it simple, but get a clear plan. So make sure that every meal that you're going to make, and we talk about this a lot, is our complete in three rule. Make sure every meal that you're going to make for the week, you have a protein, a fiber, and a healthy fat. So your fiber is essentially low glycemic vegetables, the low starch vegetables we want you to focus on. So all of your leafy greens, your broccoli, cauliflower, cucumbers, asparagus, radishes, all the ones that are not starchy. That's where you're going to get a lot of fiber. You're going to get a lot of vitamins and minerals that are going to help to keep you full. And you're also going to feel a lot more satiated by, you know, really focusing on that. And then you've got your protein and healthy fat. So it's simpler as you're shopping. You're like, okay, this week I'm going to have, you know, maybe you're going to do some, you're going to do chicken breasts as your protein. And maybe you're going to do tempeh, which is like a fermented soy if you're a vegetarian, or to do some meatless Mondays kind of thing. So maybe those are going to be your two proteins that you're going to focus on for the week. And then, you know, you're going to think about your veggies. So you're going to buy all the veggies that you could go along with that. Maybe you're going to do a chicken salad, or you're going to do fajita wraps or whatnot. So think about the veggies that fit in there that are low glycemic, and then the healthy fats. So that could be that you are maybe cooking in coconut oil, or you are doing, you know, a chia seed oil as a dressing for your salad. But start to, you know what I mean, plan out those meals based on that complete in three, because that way you're going to really save yourself a lot of stress, and you're going to make sure your meals and your blood sugar is balanced at every single meal.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay. And like I was saying in the beginning too, like something that saves me a lot of time is, cause I don't make fancy meals, but what I do is I make things that are sort of all interconnected. So it's like, if one week I'm making, you know, I'm making the whole chickens always, but then if I am making, you know, like say some meatballs in the oven, like I try to use all of my stuff at the same time. Like I'll put something in the slow cooker, something in the oven, and then I'll use like my stovetop to make like two or three other things. And then I'll cut up all my veggies while everything is cooking. So I try to be like as efficient as I can. And then I make sure that they're all like, you know, if I'm having meatballs that I've made rice with it or something. And then the rice can also be used for like, to put some in the soup that I'm making, you know, and like, I try to make it so that everything kind of makes sense and it all kind of flows together. I find it saves me so much time.
But that's why it's the easiest thing, is when you pick your meal prep day and you sit down to write your grocery list,
exactly,
plan your meals at the same time. So then you literally are not, cause I know, you know, I still have friends, and I was like this when I first moved in with my boyfriend, of like, you know, I was, before that I was cooking for one a lot. So for me, I eat the same thing all the time. Mm-hmm. And the majority of people do. And the majority of people who are successful in long-term weight loss, muscle building, are routine eaters. You know what I mean? On the majority of the time, let's say 70% of the time, you eat the same like 10 foods. And even people who eat really bad tend to eat the same 10 foods.
I have like the same meals that I pretty much alternate between every single week. Like I have like about like six different go-tos.
Well, but it's like, you know, just say if you're going to have, you still want to rotate, because when you rotate, then you get the vast amount of minerals and nutrients. You know what I mean? Like if you're eating the same thing all the time, you end up, a lot of people will end up becoming actually developing intolerances to it, mm-hmm, because it's too much, and it's too much for our system, especially if you're doing a lot of meat or dairy. But also you want to rotate, so you're getting all of the variety of nutrition from all the different foods. So even if you're going to do like I was saying, if you're going to do chicken and salad, maybe you do chicken and salad on Monday, and that's like greens and pepper or and mushrooms and tomatoes. And then just say on Tuesday, you're going to do chicken fajitas. So that's now peppers, which are different nutrient profile, and onions and things like that. So it's just kind of, you know, even though the same base, it's just switching it up, or you're going to do a different salad with a different type of veggie. But, but yeah, so for number three, so we have our first two. So first two steps to meal prep like a master, make sure you have the right equipment, pick your meal prep fun day. Well, we say Sunday fun day. And at the same time that you pick your meal prep fun day, make sure that you write your grocery list and you figure out your complete in three meals so you can just shop those groceries and it's not going to be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing that you do is now the ritual when you get home. So I know so many people, and once I changed the way I did this, it saved me so much time. I know some people who go out and do their big grocery shop and they come home and they put everything away. And when you think about it, no matter what, when you cook something, you still are going to have to take it back out and wash it and chop it and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So why not, instead of putting it all away and then 3 days later taking the stuff out you need, before you put it away, put it right into the sink. Like literally all my veggies, I fill up the water. A lot of times I do vinegar with water for my vegetables to soak in. And I just throw them right away into the sink to start washing them. And then while those are sitting there soaking, I start with my proteins. So instead, again, of putting away my chicken, and I keep using chicken as an example, but instead of putting away my chicken breasts, get out my food scale and I weigh out my portions of chicken. So if I want to have 25 grams of protein at each meal, that would be about 150 grams of chicken. So I'll just pre-measure out all my chicken breasts to make sure they're all 150 grams, put them all into the freezer as single portions, and then I could take them out as I go. Or I could cook, you know, them singly and have them already ready at the right amount. But I'm more of a person because I work from home, so I do have a little bit more flexibility in terms, I like to cook things right away. So that's why I like them portioned out. And then I just put them in the air fryer and they cook quickly. I'm obsessed with the air fryer. I used to be obsessed with
that's why I'm laughing, because I'm like, oh, that air fryer. I can't wait to get mine.
It used to be the George Foreman grill, which is another great one too. So you don't have to start the stove. It's easy to clean up, store it on the grill. But now I love the air fryer because it's way more moisture. But yeah, so, you know, soak the veggies, weigh out the proteins, and then like you were saying about how you like to use your rice in, you know, your soups as well as with your meatballs, pre-make any grains for the week that are going to take a long time, because we know that the brown grains, the whole grains, they take a lot longer to cook because they have all the nutrients, which is in the husk. Like brown rice has the husk around it, which is where all the nutrients lies. They're full of B vitamins. When the white rice is just essentially the inside of the brown rice. So all of those vitamins have been stripped. So it's just essentially like a carbohydrate. But we know that white rice takes what, 10 minutes to cook, and brown rice takes like 45 minutes.
Of course. That's why I do it. I pre-cook it, and I pre-cook my quinoa, like anything like that. I always pre-cook and have it all set up so that it's super easy to incorporate into any meal.
And what I tend to do too is when I do all of my my grains like that, and then I end up putting them into, I actually bought some stainless steel bowls, some great ones that I got. I was from Canadian Tire. So for our US listeners, I don't know what that would be similar to. It's kind of like Walmart in a sense, but it's more like home stuff. But I got different sizes of stainless steel bowls that have like snap-on lids, and I just literally put my grains in there for the week, and I put a half cup scoop in with them. So when I'm doing single portions for myself, I just scoop out with the half cup scoop that's already in there, instead of having to worry about weighing stuff out or measuring. That I know I'm, you know, if I want more carbohydrates with that meal, I'm going to do two scoops. If I want less, I'm going to do one scoop. So you still are kind of aware of how much you're eating.
It's funny that you say that, because I actually use all of my measuring spoons as my serving spoons as well. And yeah. I've done it for years. And it's just, cause it's just so easy then to just be fully aware without having to like sit there and like measure stuff and whatever. You just like, you use that as your serving device.
And I also find like, And again, what we're saying, you know, when you do this stuff in advance, it kind of seems, you're like, oh, this seems like a lot of work. But once you get into the flow, it's not. But the benefits, and not only from the health perspective, but from the mental perspective later on, because when you just measure and weigh stuff in the one sitting, or you kind of trick your brain by just putting the half cup scoop in there as a spoon, you take away that obsessiveness of having to measure or track or weigh everything because you already know how much it is. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like totally. You do that tracking in one sitting. So it's not like every single meal you got to pull out the food scale. Every single meal you have to pull out the measuring cup. Oh, I need that half a cup. It's just like, oh, it's my spoon. So it kind of mentally takes away this weird stigma we have around, you know what I mean? Like I need to be on a diet or whatever, when really it's just making sure that you're not overeating, or if you're still hungry, you could have more, but you're still aware of how much you're having. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And I know for coming from me, from someone who has very, like with my eating disorder background and very obsessive habits, I have to make sure I'm very aware of not doing things because, you know, once I get to that point where you're like weighing everything, and then if I eat something that's off the weighing, then you feel like guilty and bad. And it's just, for me, it's 100% a terrible cycle. And I know for a lot of people listening, it is too. So by doing it in one day, you kind of get the benefits of the weighing without the obsessiveness. So yeah, so just some other ideas too is prepare smoothie jars. So mason jars, I love them so much because you literally can just stuff them with all of your smoothie ingredients. So put in your fruit and your greens and your protein powder and everything that you want. And then you can just dump it into the blender in the morning. Cause I find with smoothies, if you make them in advance, they end up tasting pretty funky by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I find the consistency changes a lot.
Totally. Overnight oats, you can make them and have them last up to like a week in the fridge because essentially, you know, they're just yogurt and almond milk, and you're going to have yogurt and almond milk, chia seeds, oats in your fridge anyways. Each of the ingredients is fine. The texture at the end of a week though would be pretty mushy. So, but you can make those all in advance, even the dry ingredients, and add the wet ingredients. And then of course, during your, so this is all still during your entire meal prep after you come back from the grocery store. You've washed your veggies, they're in the sink. You're weighing and measuring your proteins. You're pre-making your grains with a half cup scoop. You're preparing your smoothie jars for the next 7 days. This is also time to portion out your snacks. So if you are someone who you like nuts and maybe dried fruit or some sort of like pretzels or anything like that, you know, again, they're very easy to overeat on, especially nuts. And, so you, like, this is a perfect time to just to portion them out into little containers, and for your kids too, because then that way it's great. Cause then they have grab and go healthy snacks too. Right?
Definitely.
I also love to do, I make hard boiled eggs too. So I make those, and then, you've got them for the week to grab for breakfast or to take with you for lunch. Just make sure you don't open them around all your coworkers cause they kind of stink. I still love them though. I don't know what it is. I love hard boiled eggs. And the other thing too is make your homemade protein balls. We've got tons of recipes on our blog, fitchicks.ca, for all different types of protein balls, from ones that are cookie dough flavored to gingerbread to chocolate dipped. And they keep really well. And again, you can just you can make 24 balls and then bring two of them in parchment paper to work as a snack. So super great stuff. Oh, and I forgot too, I love muffin tins too. We know you love muffin tins as well. Your meat muffins.
I know. That sounds so disgusting when you say that. You're like, would you like a meat muffin? But it's basically just like little mini meatloaves, right? But yeah. I love
it's like a big meatball.
Yeah. I love doing it because it's just so simple. It's like, I know that it's good for me and I know what my portions are, and it's just like grab and go, like literally I can just throw them in a container and be out the door. And like, same thing with the omelet muffins. I do those a lot as well, because for me, I don't like, you know that, Laura, I don't love eggs, but I found a way to like them if I make them as like omelet muffins. So I like mix up the eggs, mix up some veggies in it, and then I put them into the muffin tins, and then they come out like little mini muffins, but they're eggs and veggies, and I don't know why I like them better that way, but I can't eat regular eggs on their own, but I can eat those. So,
well, yeah, and like you said, it's like perfect portion control too, like perfect portions already. Mm-hmm. And you can do anything from breakfast foods, like the mini omelets you were saying, as well as you could even do little baked oatmeals too, like little single baked oatmeals that are complete in three, because you can do them with eggs. Like an egg obviously has the white, which is the protein, and then it's got the yolk, which is the fat. Mm-hmm. And then adding in, you know what I mean, like rolled oats, and you can add in any dried fruit or cinnamon and things like that. And you make like little almost baked baked oatmeals.
So I've never tried that, but I'm going to.
Yeah, like, and you could do so many different, you could do the mini meatloaf muffins, you could do little, I've even seen people do like little taco cups. Like there's so many different things you can do, but the thing I like about it is, again, it's already perfectly portioned, and if you have a muffin sheet of 12, that's pretty much like 6 days of stuff, because a lot of times you would probably take two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's number three. So that's how to meal prep after we come home on our Sunday. So hopefully we've given you some great ideas for how to get this done. And, you know, you got your slow cooker pumping, you got your portions for your air fryer, you've got everything ready to rock, and you're set for the week. So then number four for our five steps is just other than living alone, but if you do live alone, that's totally fine too. I throw on the music when I'm by myself. I love meal prepping by myself. I sometimes have a glass of wine, listen to my tunes. I'm just like, you know what I mean? Cause I always try to be in a good mood too. And I know some people might think this is a little bit weird, but I always try to be in a really good mood when I'm cooking, because I believe as well in the transfer of energy. So it's like when you eat something like your grandma made and you feel the love from it. It's like, I want to be in a good mood. So I'm like putting good vibes into my food. And I know some people might be like, that's really like hokey pokey, but I totally think it's something that, you know, when you make things with love, then you feed your body with love and you feed those you love with love.
I don't think it sounds hokey. I think it's totally true. They always say, like, you know, when you do eat food from someone that, you know, like your mom or something like that, I always find it tastes so much better.
I know. I agree. And that's where it kind of comes to number four. So even if you're by yourself and to have a lovely time, do it, but also make it a family affair. If you do have kids, your partner, me and my partner, we cook a lot together. So we kind of have different jobs, but it's probably one of my favorite times that we spend, because it's just him and I talking and cooking, and then we enjoy a meal together. And it's just like, there's no TV on, there's no computers, there's no work, there's no distractions. It's just literally like enjoying each other's company. And I think it's really important too for both partners in a relationship to know how to cook, especially if you have a family, because you've got to be able to cook for your kids, and your kids need to learn how to cook as well.
Definitely. I know that's one thing I'm looking forward to with my daughter, is to start getting her, obviously she's a little baby right now, but when she gets older, to start doing that and like to grow a garden with her and to like actually make food together and all those kinds of things, I think is really exciting.
Oh, totally. And kids, they respond so well once you start to involve them in the process, you know, like, and especially with them taking out a lot of nutrition to do in schools and stuff like that, it's more our responsibility than ever to teach these life skills. And they are truly like life skills that will change they'll change the course of your life. They can determine whether you're going to be healthy or not. If you develop bad habits from a very young age and you don't learn how to cook, like we have clients who they're 45 years old and they're just learning how to cook real food, because their parents, you know, opened up cans of beefaroni or Kraft dinner, and that was just that was just what they thought was food. And this, it's not their fault. It's just what they grew up around, and it's just something that's a really important skill. So, I think so. Number four to meal prep like a master is to make it a family affair, and then the last one, of course, is to have fun.
Because yes.
Cooking, no matter what your background is, so whether, you know, you are from the country you live in, or you're listening to this and your background is from, you know, another country and you're bringing that culture, cooking and sharing food, it truly is a part of our culture, and still one of the most, I think one of the most intimate things that you can do with another person is share a meal, break bread, you know what I mean? Like, and I think we really need to make sure that we enjoy that process And even if you don't enjoy it yet, try to get in there with a fun and positive mindset. And it will make it a lot, it'll make it a lot better. It won't feel like a chore.
Mm-hmm. One of the ways that I try to like make it fun is, even though I was saying like I keep my recipes pretty simple, I keep my ingredients so that they all kind of intertwine, so it makes my life easier from a meal prepping standpoint. Every week I actually find one recipe a week that I've never tried before and I make it. And it's usually not like on my meal prep day, it'll usually be like one other day during the week, but I do try to make it so that cooking becomes a little bit exciting and interesting to me. So I'll try something new. And then if I do love it, like if I try this new recipe and I'm like, oh my God, that was amazing, I'll figure out how to make it the next week into my meal prepping so that I figure out, okay, like whatever's involved in it, that, like in that recipe, what else can I make from those kinds of similar ingredients so that I can then incorporate it now into my new routine.
No, I love that. And I also love doing too, even if you haven't, you know, you haven't had a chance to look for new recipes, even if you just go to the grocery store and you see like a vegetable that you've never used before, just buy it and then find a recipe for it afterwards. Like there are still vegetables at the grocery store that I have never used before and I have no idea what to do with them.
Yeah.
Like lobok, I want to use it. It's like, looks like this big white kind of like really long, almost like sweet potato, but it's white. And I don't know what the heck to do with it. And I keep looking and thinking, I'm going to buy that. I'm going to find a recipe. Because I'm sure it's delicious, but I'm like, I have no idea what to do with it. But yeah, so just to recap, our top five ways to meal prep like a master, well, our top five steps is that, well, this is not a step, but first of all, just get out of the mindset that, you know, this is going to be time consuming because we're going to have an enjoyable time. So number one, make sure you have the right equipment. So if you don't have the right equipment, borrow it to start off with, or, you know, go to your local, maybe it's a secondhand store, or invest in some new stuff, but we really want to make sure you've got the right equipment. So blender, slow cooker, knives, glass jars, storage containers, a kitchen scale, try to ditch that microwave. Secondly, pick your meal prep day of the week and make it a ritual. So same day every single week. Like we said, we love Sundays. And while after you've picked that day, then you're going to do your grocery list. So what are the meals you're planning for the week? And make sure that each of the meals as you plan them are complete and three approved. And it's super easy because all you're going to do is if you just put down three columns, your proteins, your like low starch veg, and your healthy fats, if you just fill each of those columns, you're going to know that you have foods from all three, and then you can kind of mix and match and pair your meals to make sure that they're complete and three approved. Number three, you're going to get into your ritual. So as soon as you get home from the grocery store, you're not going to pack away your stuff. You are going to start right away. So that's why the afternoons are great, because you're going to wash your veggies, you're going to weigh and measure your proteins, you're going to do all that good stuff. We're going to freeze our nuts and make hard-boiled eggs, and you're going to be set for the week. So then by the time dinner time hits on Sunday, you're done. Number four, we're going to make it a family affair. So involving your family as well, not just you, because everyone needs to know how to cook. And it's a really great way to spend time with your family. And then of course, number five is to have fun. So try a new ingredient every week that you've never used, bookmark recipes. And then of course, get out of the mindset that it's a chore. So Amanda, what's your biggest takeaway from today?
My biggest takeaway, I think, is, you know, just to, I guess, like what you were saying, like change your mindset of like, oh, this is a chore, or this is like, you know, adding so much to my to-do list for the week, and think of it as how much it's going to alleviate the stress that comes from trying to eat healthy the rest of the week. Do you know what I mean? Like I said, when I have food that's already pre-made and all I have to do is reheat it, and I do avoid the microwave as much as absolutely possible. I do try to reheat stuff because I do have the luxury of working from home. So my lunches, I can reheat them on the stove. If you're someone who can't, maybe try making it so that your lunches are foods that you don't have to reheat, and then your dinners you can reheat on the stove. But doing that and sort of having them pre-made and having them ready to rock, it literally yes, feels like it's like adding something to your schedule, but really what it's doing is it's adding to your life, because you can now eat healthy. You can eat on the go easily. You can eat real whole foods that you have prepared and that you have ready to go. And the amount of stress that it takes away from having that pre-done is far beyond the extra 2 hour, 3 hour block that you're going to have to put in, like the work to get it ready. So just get out of the mindset of like, it's a chore, and start thinking of it as how much more is going to help you in your big picture of that week ahead.
Well, yeah. And my biggest takeaway is kind of in line with that too. It's just essentially just really just start to do it, start to meal prep. It's like, if your goal is to lose weight, if your goal is to build muscle, if your goal is to get healthier in general, have more energy, sleep better, all that stuff, you need to be looking at your food. You need to be eating real whole foods, and meal prepping is a must. So, like I said, we've got tons of great recipes on the blog, at fitchix.ca/blog. We also have courses that, so in our Fitchix Academy, we have our fitness and nutrition expert, where we talk a lot about obviously nutrition, as well as our natural weight loss coach, where again, we talk about a lot to do with nutrition around weight loss and getting the body in balance. So you're going to learn a lot more about why you should do this stuff in addition to how to do it. And yeah, of course, you can always send us any questions. We're here for you at info@fitchix.ca or on social media at fitchix, sorry. So with that, we're going to wrap this up. So thank you guys so much for today. Hopefully you will all be jumping off of here and running out to go get your slow cookers and start meal prepping. Yeah. and yeah, we will talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.